So as I'm giving a sharing some thoughts on Thanksgiving and what the Bible has to say about Thanksgiving and a little bit about our American heritage, halfway through we'll stop and I'm going to give anybody and everybody here an opportunity, if you want, to say something you're thankful for. It can be the simplest single statement or something that happened this year. It can be something as much as I'm thankful for sun and pretty leaves. Or it can be whatever. So just, and it can be any age. So we'll pass around the mic when we get there. A grateful heart. Thanksgiving. It really is a wonderful time of the year, and I like it. I'm feel very strongly about not skipping Thanksgiving, looking at Christmas. You're right. We want to be a thankful people. And you know, if you ask most people, whether they're Christians or not, they would agree that's a good thing, to be grateful and be thankful. Most people can see it on somebody when they're not grateful. You can read that on kids pretty easy. But I hate to say it, but many times in America, we are a spoiled people. We don't really like to see it on a kid, but yet sometimes we act like a spoiled children of God. In America, affluence has created a type of shallowness in our souls. We have so much. To say that we have more than enough is a complete understatement. I read once in a devotional, it said, the old proverb, I complained because I had no shoes until I met a man that had no feet. But today in America, it's more like, I was satisfied with my two pair of shoes until I met a man who had four. So I hunted another job for more pay. I've read the statistic, if you have spare change at all, if you have spare change, we are in the 8% richest in the world, worldwide. So we don't want to be this ungrateful child. We do want to give expression of gratitude and thanksgiving. You know, we don't want to be the one that we complain because we have to walk to the car through the rain instead of being grateful we can walk at all. Or to complain that our food is too salty, too this, too that, too spicy, too hot, not enough Lancaster County, or whatever we say about it, instead of just being grateful we have food at all. We complain about too much rain, not enough rain, it's too hot, the grass grows too fast. Somebody left the door open, or do I have to clean again, instead of being grateful we have a house at all. We are like the Israelites. I mean, they got food and they got manna and quail every day, and I know it was the same old thing they ate, and they complained about it, and God wasn't very happy about that. He had provided. How much more has He provided for us? So we're going to quick look at a biblical example of Thanksgiving. Oftentimes in the Bible, where something is first mentioned, there's significance to that. So Thanksgiving is first mentioned way back in Leviticus chapter 7. And there are seven feasts of Israel that are ordained by God. He says, obligatory, I want everyone to do this. And then he proceeds to explain a whole bunch of different sacrifices that you can make that are of your own accord, free will. Well, Thanksgiving is first mentioned in something called the Peace Fellowship Offering. I just had this up so you can follow it a little bit as I'm explaining it. There was something called a peace fellowship offering. It was free will of a person's choice. These sacrifices were chosen of their own discretion out of a welling over of gratitude to God for His forgiveness, for His blessings, and His provision. It was voluntarily given willingly and freely by the person. This was a personal sacrifice and offering. So there were three parts to it, and there's significance to this. The first part was you had to give an animal sacrifice. We know that the shedding of blood through Jesus makes us right with God. Before Jesus was on this earth, there was this animal sacrifice for your forgiveness. And so it made you right with God. So you made an animal sacrifice, and then there was a Thanksgiving offering of grain. And this is God's words to Moses telling him how to do this. So this isn't somebody just making something up. And he said, I want you, they had to make these different layers of bread in a sense. Some were so thin that they're like fragile. This is the thinnest of cracker, and then there was like a wafer, and then unleavened bread, and then what we might think is a puffy loaf of bread. And it's thought-provoking. So as they were giving this Thanksgiving offering, they had to go through these different types of bread, so to speak. And then afterwards, you could have a fellowship meal. So it was a sacrifice, and then Thanksgiving, and then a fellowship meal where it all had to be eaten the same day. Well, is this the order of thanks? To give thanks for just the thinnest, fragile things in life, and then to give thanks for the fullest things in life? Are we going to give thanks for those times that are just barely there? I read a story in my one book by Ann Voskamp. And she said this. Her husband's a farmer looking at his soybean field. That field of beans, west of the barn, it looked gaunt come October. Bean pods were hanging all like bony ribs. Whenever the wind sighed, the whole field rattled skinny. When her husband drove the combine in and lowered the head, she crawled up in to say hello to him. Raising her voice over the hum of the combine engine, she said, "Is it possible that something that doesn't look like anything can still amount to something?" As they looked over the field was just hard to look at. "Well," said her husband, "I know it's not much to look at. But I know it's so weedy and thin. A field that had no rain in the month of July, how can a farmer make the sky give rain? But he can just bend his knees and raise his hands, and I will thank God for the harvest anyway." Her husband prayed, and he gave thanks for whatever the harvest was going to be, thanking God, asking God for his blessings to provide, thanking him for what beans were there, no matter how small. And when she climbed down, he started combining the field. He drove the combine through the field, and the beans rattled through the combine, the auger, the golden beans counting on the monitor. All of a sudden, she sees the combine stopped, and her husband's flagging her down, and she runs out and hops in. He goes, "Can you believe it? You got to look at this monitor. Look at it." He said, "It's producing way more." He said, "It's like the numbers defy what we're looking at in the field. If I didn't see it, I wouldn't believe it." And he laughed. He said, "God is good." "Really, how can this be?" she asked. "How can the numbers on the screen defy this sparse, gaunted crop?" He said, I know. Is life that way? The life that counts blessings discovers it's yielding more than it seems. And I am reminded that even though sometimes it doesn't look like there hasn't been enough rain, but it seems like there's not enough, God is enough. And the bounty will appear greater than what it seemed. And in the thin places, sometimes they are the closest to God. And in those skinny places, sometimes they seem the fullest. Is this the order of thanks? To give thanks for those thinnest things that you can barely give thanks for, and then also give thanks for the times that feel full. The peace fellowship offering, they had to make peace with God through a sacrifice, give thanksgiving, and then they could have fellowship. Could it be that no one receives the peace of God without giving thanks to God? The peace of God and peace with God. Peace with God comes when we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. We are forgiven and we have peace with God through Jesus. The peace of God comes as an act of obedience in giving thanks to God and trusting God as a good and perfect Father. The pilgrims, they gave thanks in the leanest of times, in the skinniest, thinnest, most fragile of times. They did come for religious freedom. Now, not everybody that came across that ocean came for religious freedom. Some came for just get land and hopefully make a buck. But the pilgrims came because they wanted to be able to worship God, and this land presented opportunity to be able to do that. But, you know, you think if they're doing the right thing, God would have just made it easy. First of all, their ship, they had problems, and they started like 3 months later than they were going to start. On the way over, they had 7 weeks of the sea was so rough, they all had to stay underneath in the decking, 102 people in the size of like a volleyball court. 7 weeks. You know, wasn't God, they were like, are we doing God's will, or does he want us here or not? And then they get over there and they get pushed north and they think they're going to Virginia and end up in Cape Cod. Way late in the end of the winter, not enough warm clothes, not enough food. And it was a hard winter and half of them died. God does provide. They didn't feel entitled. They kept asking God, just asking God and asking and thanking him for anything that came their way. And then a Native American Indian, which is a story all in of itself, a true story of Squanto, who had learned English through other ships that had gone through, and that's a whole story. But Squanto indeed came in. They watched them for 6 months, saw their plight, saw these were just peaceful people trying to live, and they came in and helped them out. They gave them corn, showed them how to plant it, showed them how to hunt the land, what things were edible. And by the end of that summer and harvest time, they had enough food to carry through the winter. However, come late fall, another ship comes across, drops off 35 people and leaves, and those 35 people did not bring food with them and did not have enough warm clothing. All of a sudden, their rations that would have made the whole winter got so scarce. By the time their harvested rations got so scarce, and spring comes late in the New England states, by the time it was near the end, they were the tradition says that they were down to 5 kernels of corn per day as their harvest ration. The next summer, they had another really good harvest, and by that fall, they spent time they invited the whole Native American Indian village, and they celebrated 3 days together in harmony, thanking God for his provision. George Washington, you know, our founding fathers often get a bum rap, and the people are very quick to point out their faults. They were not faultless. But don't let anybody tell you they were godless, because they were not. This is reported that a man had seen Washington kneeling. Of course, this is a painted portrait. There would have been no photographs. And he came back and he said he had seen Washington all by himself in the orchard grove kneeling and praying beside his horse. And this is an artist's rendition of what somebody had reported. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not faultless either. Neither were our founding fathers. And please forgive me for this next slide. It's everything you're not supposed to do with PowerPoint. It's all just a bunch of words. But I'm going to read to you something. They found a prayer book written by George Washington in the archives of Yale. Yale originally was a theological seminary. And this is a prayer. I just want you to be able to follow it with me, because it's Old English wording, so it's a little hard to follow. But this is something he titled the prayer book, Daily Sacrifices. This is written by George Washington. O most glorious God, O acknowledge and confess my faults in the weak and imperfect performance of the duties of this day. I have called on thee for pardon and forgiveness of sins, but have done so coldly and carelessly that my prayers have become my sin and I stand in need of pardon. I have heard thy holy word, but with such deafness of spirit that I have been an unprofitable and forgetful hearer. But, O God, who are rich in mercy and plenteous in redemption, mark not, I beseech thee, what I have done amiss. Remember that I am but dust, and I remit my transgressions, my negligences, and my ignorances, and cover them all with the absolute obedience of thy dear Son, that those sacrifices of sin and praise and thanksgiving, which I have offered, may be accepted by thee in and for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ offered upon the cross for me. That is not a godless forefather. And he didn't advertise that. Like I said, that was found in his handwritten prayer journal. Lincoln declared the National Day of Thanksgiving in the middle of the Civil War. He declares a National Day of Thanksgiving in the middle of the Civil War. Notice that they were giving thanks in the thinnest of times. Valley Forge, Civil War, Pilgrim's first years, the thinnest of times. That did become full, but they were giving the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Jesus, at the Last Supper, he asked his 12 disciples, I want you to do Passover with you. And one thing he did was when he got to the third cup, this was a routine, like we think of a Seder, the routine, you did exactly the same thing every single time, but he got to the third cup and he breaks out of tradition and he picks up the bread and he says, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them. Well, the Greek word for give thanks is Eucharistio. That's what we call, some churches call it the Eucharist. Eucharistio. The root word of Eucharistio is charis, which means grace. The derivative of that is chara, which is joy. And this is a nugget of gold. That Eucharistio, charis, chara, when we give thanks, we will find grace for the moment and an inner joy will come. So is the height of my inner joy dependent on the depth of my willingness to give thanks? And Jesus' expression of thanks preceded the biggest miracle of all time. What was he giving thanks for? He was trusting the Father to bring ultimate good, knowing that what he was about to suffer, God the Father was going to have a bigger picture in mind, and there was going to be ultimate good. So is the height of my inner joy dependent on my willingness to give thanks? Thankfulness preceded the miracle. At the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus prayed, gave Eucharistio thanks, and there was a miracle. Paul and Silas, put in jail for doing the right thing. I mean, some things were like, you know, I do the right thing. I try to live the right life. I make good decisions. I try to do the right thing. And this is the thanks I get? Paul and Silas were put in jail for speaking about Jesus. Did the right thing. They gave thanks. And what preceded was another miracle. Wall shook and the chains fell off. So when we are thankful, we think on God's goodness, which becomes an act of worship, which pleases God. So therefore, there lies the path to joy and peace. We give thanks not because of how we feel, but because who God is. So at this point, I'd like to open up the mic now, and Justin will hand around some microphones. And I'd like you to give an opportunity. You may stay where you are. You can come up here if you want, or you can stay where you are. And I'd like you to share anything you'd like to share, giving thanks to God during this week of Thanksgiving, which should be, of course, any time and all the time. So, anybody want to kick us off? Excellent.
I have a lot to thank, man. This could be like an hour long.
First, I'll start off by thanking God, because without him, I wouldn't have my amazing dad, my amazing children. I mean, I started, I lived in basements, so I came from, real far. And God this year has blessed us with a house, with a vehicle. I mean, we often say we don't know how we got what we got, but without God, we wouldn't have what we have, so I'm definitely grateful.
I'm thankful for my mommy and putting a roof over our head and giving us food to eat and clothes to wear and everything we have right now, putting us in this school, bringing us where we are now. And also thank God for being with us during all that.
I'm thankful for life.
I'm thankful for having an amazing family that I have now. I'm thankful for just everything that I have in life. Where I was, where I am now, is a lot different. Lost my mom Christmas time, so that's pretty hard for me, but I'm thankful for everything I have.
Is this an on? I'm thankful for this congregation. I would say church, but church is just a building. And we are a group of people making up the church. Without this family, I don't know how we would have made it this year. It's been rough, but we want to thank God for all our friends here, encouragement, everything that people have done. I mean, just encouragement. It's so incredible.
I'm thankful for my kids, for getting to where I'm at today. I'm very grateful for my granddaughter, who is like my little best friend. I could never imagine life without her. I'm also thankful for a new job that I got, where I can actually have every other weekend off and finally go to church, because all these years I've had to work every single weekend, so blessed.
I'm thankful for my family.
I'm thankful for forgiveness and second chances.
I'm thankful for this. It's amazing that God loves us so much that he gave us a book that, even though I don't understand, but a small portion of it that he gave us to help us understand him.
Thankful for where my knee is at right now. Very thankful, yes. Mike, praise the Lord for sure. It's been a rough few days after therapy on Thursday. I pushed it too hard, but they're amazed, and there's only one place to give glory for that, and I am thankful. Thankful for family, thankful for my job, as well as, you know, I started a new job this year as well, so I'm extremely blessed to be where I'm at there, and thanking God for his grace and his mercy and his love.
I'm thankful for answered prayers, especially for the ones that were answered in ways that I couldn't imagine and wasn't expecting.
Thank God for the opportunities to be alive, to live out what God has shown us in His Word throughout this year. Thankful for the harvest. And as I was in Louisiana, you were talking about the crops earlier. I had the privilege of sitting in a combine and seeing the rice flow into the combine as it was being harvested. And I was just looking at that and thinking of the fields of people that we come in contact with every day that are white unto harvest. Lord, help send me into the harvest field, because the harvest is ready to be harvested. Help me to see the one, the person I need to talk to today, to share with. I'm grateful for our family, for children and grandchildren, praying for people who need jobs, as well as those people who are going through the hurts of loss of life. Loss of life in the world. Yes, we say COVID isn't real, but it has taken its toll. And I think that we need to continue to show forth God's love and know that God is sovereign through all that's going on, even though I don't understand it. God does. God does.
I'm thankful for God's grace. I'm thankful that Jesus died on a cross for me, for all of us. There's a lot to be thankful for, but I'm thankful for the faith that I have in God. Like my favorite song says, living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love.
Well, I'm thankful for many things. I'm thankful for my wife, for my four children, even though we've continued to have health issues. Just thankful that it always could be worse. So you're thankful for the good. And so I'm thankful for that. Ultimately, I hope for healing and pray for healing for Greta and just that she would move on to another phase. God is good, and as Chuck said, I'm just thankful for salvation and for a hope of life forever with God. So, yeah.
I'm thankful for a godly wife, which I didn't deserve. None of you knew me before I knew the Lord, and I was a mess until I was 25. And God was gracious to me in so many ways. And for our family that desires to follow Him and honor Him with their lives, it's a great blessing that we get along and love one another. The Lord has been so faithful in so many ways. And so He's just so good.
I'm thankful for God loving me at my worst.
Thank you for sharing. And yes, there's more and more and more, and it blesses God's heart when we thank Him. It is biblical. God wants us to be thankful. It's good for us. Ushers in peace and joy and fellowship with God when we are a thankful people. I have a couple slides here that are scripture, and I'd actually like us all to read them out loud together with me. Making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God. Thanks be to God for His inscribable gift. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let the peace of God rule in your heart and be thankful. Enter his courts with thanksgiving in our hearts and into his courts with praise. And I just added, can we enter without it? My little comment down there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Give thanks to the Lord for Lords. Boy, that's a typo. Of Lords, sorry. His faithfulness, a faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks. Whoops. When I give thanks, I unwrap the gift of joy. The joy of unconditional gratitude will recharge our souls. Thanksgiving should be thanks living. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you. Thank you and thank you again. Thank you for the gift of salvation, that our sins can be forgiven, that you paid that price for us, and that we can live with you eternally, forever in your presence. It's a gift we will spend every moment of our lives thanking you. Undeserved, unearned gift. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us to be thankful people in the thinnest of times and in the fullest of times, to not forget to give thanks. And then thank you, Lord, that in that thanksgiving, we are closer to you. We have fellowship with you. We will watch you do the miracles. You are a good God that loves us beyond measure. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.